poop or get off the pot.
Traveling at the speed of thought.
It's Thursday, August 27th, 2020. This is episode 017, if you're counting. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, sitting way over there doing the social distance thing is my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Can't complain.
Good. Very good.
Yeah. Although, I gotta say, man, this shit blew up again this week, man.
Yeah, I think it hit the fan. Just imagine a nice, freshly painted, clean room.
Okay.
And imagine one of those high power industrial fans.
I see it.
And imagine just taking, let's say, a shovel full of excrement. And tossing that right into the fan. And I think the resulting mess is what this week was news wise.
Yes, I like it.
Awful, terrible.
Jesus, when are we going to stop saying it can't get any worse?
Yeah, you know what? Like we observed just several weeks ago, that yeah, we need to just take that out of our vernacular. Just stop asking that question, because it seems like the universe has an answer each time.
Yeah. So. Oh my goodness. Well, Joe, with all this shit going on, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am having a rum cherry Coke.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so, remember the sophisticated cherry glaze from last week?
Yes, you were very sophisticated last week.
Yeah, it was hurting. That's a sophisticated. That's like four syllables. but yeah, it's that stuff. It's the cherry glaze with some rum, and just added a Coke to fill up the glass, and it's very good. It's a very good cherry.
Is it just like a Captain Morgan's type rum, or is it one of those, like a rum that's kind of clear, or
this is a flavored rum from the Bahamas, and I must be a hardcore alcoholic, because I've got several rums. We've got several rums, and I can't put my finger on which one it was. I think it was Ricardo.
But some say alcoholic. Others might say a connoisseur.
Yeah, I like connoisseur. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one has a much better ring to me. It also doesn't seem to be as desperate as alcoholic, you know. What about you?
I'm drinking the water.
Excuse me?
What?
Yeah, you drink a water? A Huda?
I'm drinking orange-flavored water.
Mm-mm. Okay, good. That's better. That's more like an orange-flavored water.
I found these little... It's called Mio, M-I-O, and they're like these little bottles of concentrate flavors, and I know a lot of people do them, but Mio has like the best assortment of flavors, I think, so...
How's it sweetened?
Yeah. Especially no calorie.
Sugar. Yeah, you got me there. I take a very hard line on artificial sweeteners.
I know you spanked me just a couple weeks ago, I think.
Oh, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. You know, just I want to be cool, but you know, hey, damn it. Sweet sugar should be sweet. It should be coming from chemicals, you crazy kids.
I can't necessarily argue with that, but it is what it is, I guess.
Of course it is what it is. How could it be what it's not?
You know what? I got a knock on the door today, Joe.
Oh, no, not again.
Yeah, and I typically have adopted the policy that unless I'm expecting company, I don't answer the door.
Quick side note.
No, sorry, yes.
Really quick. I remember there was a time when we would hang out where the idea of a knock on the door would be absolutely terrifying.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, so the idea that the knock on the door, from our experience, ominous things come from that. So, but
you see who it is, Joe. Huh? You see who's at the door.
No. I mean, we're at your place, Brian.
That's okay, man. That's okay.
But, I'm assuming that this knock at the door wasn't as ominous as. Sorry, guys, that was a little bit of inside baseball, inside joke.
Yeah, this knock on the door was very dainty. I imagine that it was like a little old lady, maybe.
Yeah, we can go with that, little old lady.
But I didn't answer.
No.
But
not even little old ladies could get an answer door from Brian, huh?
Too many things could go wrong.
Yeah, equal opportunity. get away from me.
But I did. But I did go. I did go check the door to see what was up, and these papers fell out of the door when I opened it up, and I'd like to tell you. I'd like to read to you what they are here. It says, "Notice of visit, Census 2020."
All right, it's the census.
The census. Now, and anyway, and it just says, you know. A U.S. Census Bureau interviewer stopped by today to complete an interview for your household. We need your help to count everyone in the United States by providing basic information about all the people living or staying at this address. And then it goes on and doesn't really threaten me, per se, but it does remind me that I'm required by law to respond.
Hmm.
And that if I don't, I might get visited again.
By who? Crap. You might get visited again. It sounds like some bruisers might come and visit you, man. That just sounds.
Yeah. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the census? I don't know why that I have some sort of an aversion to it. Like, I can't remember. I think when I was living downtown, that's the last time I recall getting a census, and I don't know if I filled it out or not, but I can't remember the questions, but if the questions were just how many people are living here, fine, that's fine, and that would give them their count, but it's like. They I remember there being like just all kinds of other questions that bothered me, and I can't remember them exactly, but you know I'm sure that there was like income, different, all, just any kind of demographic that you could think of, and it just bothered me, and it bothers me today, and I'm not sure. What to think of? What are your thoughts on the census? Have you got them and filled them out?
I've gotten it, but I haven't filled it out. But it kind of reminds me of what kind of annoying features of citizenship, kinda, in that same category as doing jury duty and paying taxes and doing the whole selective service thing. It's annoying things that you have to do,
right?
Because you just kind of have to, and if you don't, there's going to be some element of your life will be harder, likely as a result. Well, I don't know about that for. Well, I mean, getting a second, getting a second interview may not be the greatest. Having someone knocking at your door again because they know you're there.
Yeah, I was like, if I turn the TV off, then then they'll definitely know that I'm here.
Proof positive.
if I just don't do anything, you know, I could be like, oh, I was in the restroom, didn't hear you, sorry, something like that. But I don't know.
But
it's just funny. It's just again, I think I've probably said this before, but you know, just by living our lives online or having a smartphone or using, you know, Google to search things and things. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that any kind of privacy that I'm wanting to keep about myself, filling out this stupid census, I don't know if this is where I need. Is this really where I want to draw the line? You know, this is where I take the stand.
Yeah, it's kind of like taking the stand. Me taking my stand at the artificial sweetener. Out of all the other things I do that are bad. this is where this is the hill you want to die on, Joe.
I eat the greasiest of wings, but you know what? My sugar sources are pure.
Yeah, it's honey, sugar, or agave, and I'm snobbish like that. Yeah, I'm that guy. When you think about all the other information you give away for free, just you know, in the course of living your life. Yeah, but there is something about the government showing up to your door,
and I'm sure that's why that's what's bothering me. I guess I've developed this. I'm probably, like I said, I'm probably on a list somewhere.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I mean, like, if Google showed up knocking at your door, like, hey Brian, you know, do you want to give us all your information? You know, you would probably shut the door in their face as well, or not open the door in their face. But if they're like, hey, Brian, if you want to search for, you know, those chicken wings that you're not supposed to be buying and have them ordered to you, we're going to require that you give up all of your privacy. Does that sound fair? And the average person says yes to that, as evidenced by the fact that nobody, and I mean nobody, reads that list of terms and conditions and you know, that comes with every cell phone, every piece of software, even every app that you get. So,
yep.
And so part of me says it's, you know, because the government is, you know, no one doubts that the government needs that type of information to do all the things it needs to do. But it seems that they settled on the most clunky, inefficient way to go about doing it, which makes you wonder, like, yeah, I mean, by the time that you guys collect all this information and get it to the form that it can actually be used, it won't be useful anymore, because you know that much has changed on the ground.
Isn't that like it? I mean, most times we like look up. I remember we was trying to look up, or I was looking up, trying to look up stats of shooting victims. You know, that whole thing a few episodes back when we was talking about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like the most recent data is like 18. You know?
Yeah, it's like, wait a second. It's like
so is the data that if I was to fill this out, you know, would that be included in, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, decision? I don't know.
So in 3 years, when we're making a decision, when we're trying to look up, you know, percentage of information workers in the Cincinnati area, maybe then that information might come to bear.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Something you said earlier kind of sparked this. I expect this probably the way the thing, you know, with, I'll call it like a technocracy or something, where the tech and the government is almost becoming, they're coming to just a little too close to each other, that I can expect to do a Google search Google for something, and then, you know, like the first result is a reminder saying, hey Brian, have you filled out that census yet? Motherfucker.
or worse, have you gotten that colonoscopy? You indicated in your census that you're a man of a certain age. Have you
would you like us to schedule an appointment?
Yeah. We have a proctological exam for you in 20 minutes. That's a little terrifying. It's not too far from, you know, the way they can take information and make connections.
Machine learning is It's a wondrous and scary thing all at the same time.
And speaking of machine learning, somebody's been threatening to do a technology show, and I don't know who.
I know, man. They need to stop. They need to, as they say, poop or get off the pot when it comes to this, man.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, whoever that guy is, you know,
I'm sure he's working on it, and when he does it, it's going to be magnificent.
Well, yeah, I agree. You can't rush perfection. But speaking of perfection, well, a rush. My understanding is there's some party going on that you want to talk to us about as well.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find the date. I want you to put it on the calendar.
Okay.
It's going to be.
So I mean this party. I mean, you know how I roll. I don't go to parties unless there's plenty of debauchery.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. There ain't no party like an Old Testament party.
Oh crap!
Because an Old Testament party don't stop.
Oh no!
And so I want you to block off next year. I want you to block off August 2nd to September 10th.
Okay. And what?
That's right. That's 40 days.
40 days.
That's a 40-day party.
Wait, what's this thing with the Old Testament? I mean,
yeah,
I know they partied hard back in the old days, but like, you know.
Yeah. So, are you familiar with the? I know that you are. You've lived in Cincinnati for a while. The Ark Encounter. It's an exhibit that's about 30 miles south of Cincinnati. It's like an amusement park for the Bible, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
featuring a real life-sized ark. That's its claim to fame.
Now, good question. This ark, how many cubics is it?
Well, I done a quick search, and because no one knows what cubits are, I said, how big is it? And it says, the Ark Encounter features a full-size Noah's Ark, built according to the dimensions given in the Bible, spanning 510 feet long, which is 170 yards, not even two football fields, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high.
I'm going to stop you right there, man.
That
just sounds like blasphemy. How are you going to get every animal in the world?
Dude,
I get all the animals on the face of creation, except for the unicorn, apparently.
Right.
On a 500-foot boat. I'm gonna call BS, man. I just
bullshit.
Here, kind of like that.
Yeah, that doesn't stand up to critical analysis, I'm afraid.
No.
Regardless, there's going to be a party. They're going to have a party. It says here there's a Christian apologetics ministry. I'm not sure what Christian apologetics is, but there's a Christian apologetics ministry called Answers in Genesis. And they've announced that next year it will host the world's largest Christian music festival at the Ark Encounter. And the festival will be going on for, of course, 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the acts that you can see, the Hoppers, the Martins.
The Hoppers, the Martins.
The Martins, I've been really looking forward to this one. Ernie Haas and Signature Sound.
I'm not familiar.
That should be
sorry.
Really good. Me neither.
Okay.
I was just trying to sound somewhat enthusiastic here. Jeff and Sherry Easter. I'm guessing they're a couple.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Greater Vision, the Isaacs. And the fucking triumphant.
So is this going to be like a wood sock for Christians?
That's what I am hoping. That's what I'm envisioning. And but I'm envisioning it just going horribly wrong, and what could go wrong? Could be like all kinds of like blasphemous idols to worship.
Or it could just be like the actual Woodstock too. I mean that.
Okay, or just actual Woodstock. Yeah.
Drunken dancing in the streets of Christian music.
Lots of wine flowing, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, it can't be a Christian party unless there's wine. But here's a question for me. Why are these Christians so excited about the Book of Genesis? I mean, it seems to me that you can't have a Christian until you have Christ, and Christ comes well after. I never understood. And this is going to get me run off the air again. Oh my goodness, this is your fault, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Making me say all these things that I probably shouldn't say, which will make me unelectable and unemployable. Inside of
you feel that twist of the arm that I'm in that I'm applying here.
Oh yeah, it's a very gentle, but all encompassing twist. But that sounds funny to me that they're focused on Genesis, where you don't have Christians in Genesis. You only have them after Christ. And so,
I'll be honest, that thought had never crossed my mind.
It probably crosses my mind because I was a philosophy and religion major. But let me. That's always in the background with me. So apologist is defined as a reasoned argument in justification of something, usually a religious doctrine. For us Christians, apologetics means the reasons we have for being Christians, the reasons we have for believing what we believe.
Okay.
Right, so when I typically think of an apologist, an apologist, is a guy whom you probably shouldn't try to have a reasoned argument with because he's already made up his mind as to how this, reason goes literally out the window with an apologist of any sort. And I guess we're talking about the Christian variety of this type of apologist, so...
I know it sounds like I'm shitting all over it, and I guess I was, but this doesn't bother me in the least. I was a Christian once, and
I didn't think it was bothering you, but it is.
I'll definitely have some fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, who in 2020 goes out and builds an ark of apparently the wrong size and then has a not-so-wild, not-so-drunken party for 4 days and 40 nights during a pandemic?
Yeah. That's a good point.
What?
Building this ark and actually showing people, letting people actually go and see it in person, people are going to have to leave it and start wondering how the hell were they supposed to fit every animal on earth on this thing. What else is wrong?
The unintentional consequence of having of the Christian apologies of having the having a true life-size arc, people start asking those uncomfortable questions. And wait a second, Noah built this all by himself? Really?
when you're young and you don't know any better, and you just, it says, there was this boat that was so many cubits, and no one knows what the fuck a cubit is.
Yeah, I think it was 40, right?
But they was able to put every animal on Earth in it. You're thinking, as a kid, you're like, God damn, that's huge.
That's a big-ass boat.
Yeah, but then when you go and if you see it,
you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
But then the apologists would be like, well, of course, this is only a representation. No one, Yeah. And the crazy thing is, some Christians take that stuff like absolutely literally. Like, you know, if it's in there, they believe it word for word.
Right.
So,
Anyway, I seen that. Thought it was since it literally is like a half an hour from here. I thought I'd mention it. So,
what would it take for you to get up and go down there?
You know what? It's funny that you say that because I was literally just thinking I should go and at least check it out. I mean, it would, assuming that it's literally just like an amusement park or something that you just kind of go and stroll around and look at things.
Yeah, I imagine is Disney meets the Old Testament.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you gotta accept Jesus Christ into your life to get entrance into the kingdom of the Ark Encounter or something, do you? I mean, you can just pay $20 and go in.
But I wonder if you get saved there, do you get like free admission?
if you get saved, they'll refund your parking or something.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be benefits of membership, right?
Yeah.
You're going to join the group, get to be part of the group. Hey, who would do that? I want my tangibles as part of the... No.
Well, I don't know, Joe. Maybe for the sake of research, I'm going to have to go check this place out.
You could be our down the rabbit hole action reporter on the scene.
Reporter on the scene. Okay. I like that.
Well, we may have to, you know, revisit this.
Yeah, we may have to, because who knows? It could be fun, especially if they serve, you know, Jesus juice.
Yeah, which everybody knows is wine, right?
Right. Yeah.
Or we could go down and bring some of our own Jesus juice. No.
This is Kentucky, so we could probably hit about five different
bourbon distilleries,
but in 30 miles.
No, I mean, but the problem is a lot of times those distillery towns, they're dry counties, so you can't buy it there. Like they'll be making it there, but you can't buy a bottle of it at the distillery.
Ain't that just fucked up?
Yeah. That's your. I mean, I can't let's set it at your feet. I was about to say, this is your fault, Brian. No,
it ain't my fault.
I just live here, damn it.
What pisses me off is that Walmart. I can drive to Walmart, or Walmart won't deliver beer to me through their nor Kroger. They have their grocery delivery service, and neither of them will deliver beer to me, but...
Walmart deliver a gun to you?
Well, I'm going to guess no, but I haven't tried. I'm thinking more along the produce side of things. But I'll bet you they would let me order a gun and they'd bring it out curbside pickup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a robbery to come in. I'm in a hurry. I get a smash with this as well.
In fact, buddy, why don't you just jump in here with me?
you know what they say, an extra pair of prints is always good at a gun.
Is that what they say? Like, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense that they would.
But, yeah.
All right, well.
We've had our fun with that.
We've had our fun, and we will revisit it, I think, because... I really don't have a good reason to not take a day and go down there.
If you do, post pictures post pictures, because that would be awesome.
Yes, for sure.
speaking of, the next piece isn't exactly awesome. It has to do with politics again. And
well, we do deal with politics here, so we. We should touch on it. Well, what do you got?
Well, I was thinking about this whole Biden-Harris ticket, and I don't think they like you, man. Like, I think, I mean,
what the fuck did I do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess It must be like, you know, everything's Brian's fault, Dave, because as I sit back and I listen to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris talk, I don't think they're for you at all. It's not for the obvious reasons either. The fact that you're, you know, a part of the oppressor class, you're Brian. But yeah, not that. But I think it's because I think they want you to become a your job to become endangered.
That doesn't seem very nice.
Not at all. I mean, people typically take their ability to produce for their family and go win bread. They take that pretty seriously. But it seems that right. Like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they don't think that you should. They probably think you're being paid too much. That's probably, to be honest, the beginning and the end of it.
Ooh. Well, Joe, you're probably right.
I thought you'd be push back on me, like, well, how could you possibly say that, Joe?
Well, I will admit to being a little surprised that you bring this up, but when you couch it in the way that you couched it, I'm assuming that this has to do with maybe some of their economic policies.
Yes. And, you know, there's a phrase, it's the economy, stupid.
Right.
Where have you heard that from?
Was that a Bill Clinton talk when he was first running against Bush, right?
That's right. George H.W. Bush. And, that was supposedly in their famous war room, they had that large letters. It's the economy.
It worked.
Yeah, but apparently Biden and Kamala didn't get that memo because.
You know what? I just got a quick thing. It's so funny that we just we're like mentally just almost conditioned to always mention Kamala first.
Well, she. I mean,
it's just like you don't really even think about it. It just comes out, Kamala and Biden, right?
It's
kind of telling.
Very. I did not even notice that I'd done it several times, and and this probably goes back to, you know, a show we did a few weeks ago talking about how hard it is to stay focused on Biden. So that can't be good for his presidency. That, you know. Talk about the writing being on the wall.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Do you recall what you were getting ready to say?
That was gold, because it's a recurring thing. But let's see here, I'm going to be taking this from the Statesman, and it says that and this is. Me reading it word for word, this is not my commentary. Indian origin Senator Kamala Harris promises to lift cap for employment-based green cards in the United States. And so Indian-based, that's not me. Indian origin, that's not me. That's the Statesman. Says Indian origin U.S. Senator Kamala Harris is in favor of lifting the existing per-country caps for employment-based green cards. Her presidential campaign said while asserting that 95% of the first in line for legal permanent residency is primarily from India, China, the Philippines, and Vietnam. And so there's this thing called H-1B visas.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what those are?
Well, I'm not 100% positive, but I think they have to do with foreign labor coming in to do companies can bring foreign labor into. I think it's like a lot of like technical type work, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if it's exclusive to technical work, but that's where they seem to come in. If I'm right.
Okay.
Am I close?
Well, you're good. Essentially, Essentially, what it is basically visas for high, what are they, high skill?
Okay, yeah.
High skill workers, and so in this case, they're tech workers, but you know they could be engineers, they could be bankers, they could be any any number of things. And let's see here. Let's see. On Tuesday, she reached out to over 24 million Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. In the U.S., collectively calling them Asian Pacific Islander American community, which is the fastest growing demographic group in the country. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I did not either. At the same time, the demand for immigrant workers shows no signs of abating. For the past, for six consecutive years, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services received so many petitions that it hit its annual cap for H-1B visas. For high school workers within 5 business days of opening the filing period, she said. So, so I guess there's a cap, and basically within 5 days of opening up for registration, they filled them. Let's see here. Kamala believes we must do more to eliminate discriminatory black backlogs and protect immigrant workers. So they can stay in our country and continue to contribute to the economy, her campaign says. Let's see here. The bill, when signed into law, increases the per-country cap on family-based immigration visas from 7% of total number of visas available that year to 15%. So pretty much doubles it. And it eliminates the 7% cap for employment-based visa immigrant visas. I'm sorry, I can't read today. A green card allows a non-U.S. citizen to live and work permanently in the United States of America. The bill titled the Fairness for High Skilled Immigrants Act of 2019, or H.R. 1044, to eliminate the per-country numerical limitation on employment-based immigrants to increase the number of per-country numerical that to increase the per-country numerical limitation for family-sponsored immigrants and for other purposes was passed on Wednesday by a vote of 365-65 votes in a 435-member House. So it seemed like it's pretty popular.
Yeah. Basically, and you're right, those... I mean, when you get down to it, they're just targeting my profession.
Well, I mean, yeah, and this is the thing. It's one of those things where, you know, we talk about the market a lot. We talk about the stock market. We talk about labor markets, and you know, all those things kind of work on several pretty consistent rules. One of those rules is the whole rule of supply and demand. Right. And what do we, you know, what do we know about the, you know, in general, supply and demand? What do we know about that?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, no, and no, you can say it because you probably.
I was just the very basic, the supply and demand. You know, the more demand, the higher, the more you can charge and.
Exactly. And so if you think of the U.S., you know, IT labor pool market. All right.
Right.
And let's say we double the number of people that are now able to participate in this market because we have increased the number of people that can gain access to the country and thus come here and work. What do you think that does to people who are currently working in IT?
Yeah, that it could have, I mean, it could have very negative effects, you know, either being laid off and replaced with lower waged employees, and or if you're not employed, makes it harder for you to get a good paying job because the market would be saturated with a bunch of people who, with the quote unquote same skill set.
Yeah, and so I mean, the whole being laid off part, I think that's, you know, I think that's one extreme, but I think this is bad, if not worse, is the idea that perhaps it, you know, it's, yeah, your wages don't grow.
Yeah. Okay. They're definitely not growing.
So, aside from, you know, being fired, that's at the extreme end of the chain. But what's more likely going to happen to you sooner is you're going to realize, hey, you know, am I, I'm keeping up, I'm beating inflation now in terms of my pay increase, but is that going to be the case in the future? And to me, it seems as if when you have politicians that are, you know, intent on doing that, bringing in more foreign labor, I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if they're your friend, man. And that's why I think
I've said for a long time, and I've been dead serious, the only way to get a real raise is to quit your job and go somewhere else. But this definitely throws water on that. It does, or it could.
Well, I mean, how could it not? If kind of we had a conversation a couple weeks ago where I said something to the effect of, if you can get somebody that can do 80% of what Brian does, but will do it for 20% of it, you know, why would you? And sorry, Brian, nothing personal, but why would you keep Brian around?
Yep, you're right.
But no, that's kind of sad, kind of not very much fun.
Yeah, it is sad.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Brian, your future is going away because when Kamala and Joe Biden become president, there I go again. When Kamala.
Oh, that would be that would, if that was a drinking game. Oh, people would be like sheets to the wind by now.
Yeah, probably several people with stomach pumps and, you know, that could
be. Yeah.
So,
alcohol poisoning.
But this whole thing kind of leads me to a separate yet somewhat related question, and that is, does talking about this topic, talking about the potentiality of, you know, people from someplace else coming over and working in the United States, does that make you a xenophobe?
Wow. You and these phobes that you want to talk about, man. I gotta say it.
You say
xenophobe. Xenophobe is a word. What did I do?
You said all these phobes. I'm like, phobe.
Oh, yeah, phobes. Didn't you learn your lesson last week, Joe?
Yeah, no, I did not. Apparently, I'm like a moth drawn to the fire.
There's no, you're going to see where the line's at.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah. But no, this is a good question. You know, because xenophobe, really, when you call someone that, it's more often than not just a way to shut down conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about it in its actual definition and terms. I think that would be interesting. But a lot of times, like when Trump, at the beginning of his first campaign there, when he was talking about Mexican immigrants, and he was instantly labeled a xenophobe. And then when he supposedly banned Muslims from coming to America, he was a xenophobe. And in both cases, I think in both cases they said that because they didn't want to talk about what he was really saying or doing, maybe.
So you're saying that instead of saying shut up, they say, oh, you're a xenophobe, which kind of has the same effect.
Yeah, you know, because then you stop trying to make your argument, and you start defending yourself against, you know, nobody wants to be called a xenophobe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All right. So
after they go look up what it means.
Well, let's. Speaking of looking up what it means, let's do that. Okay. Let's see here. Xenophobia. It's a fear of strangers. Is a broad term that may be applied to any fear of someone who is different from us. Hostility towards outsiders is often a reaction to fear. It typically involves the belief that there is some conflict between the individuals in and out of the group. So let's see here. Fear of strangers, that's one. Okay, broad term applied to any fear of someone who is different from us. Okay, so fear of strangers, ding. Broad term applied to anyone who fears someone who is different from, let's say, you and I. Okay, and often requires outsiders. So, let's see here.
Well, do you, I think we, last week, we established that both of us have tinges of transphobia.
Yeah, we said something, I think, and one thing in particular, we were like, yeah, we wouldn't go seek out their company if someone was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be me, you, and my trans friend. Like, yeah.
Exactly. All things being equal, if we had a choice of who to hang with, we'd choose, yeah. And, but, okay, but I don't. So I don't know. Do we think that applies to us with this xenophobia?
Well, let's see here. My first reaction is like, no, of course not.
Exactly, mine as well.
And once again, you know, there's two levels in which this operates on. There's the, oh, I hate foreigners, and then there's the, I'm aware that, you know, people from a foreign country may impact me in a way that's measurable, that's not positive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, but my question once again, can you be the latter? So acknowledge that there may be someone from an outside that maybe that is impacting you, and can you have that thought and not be xenophobic? And so let's see here. Characteristics. Let's see here. Feeling uncomfortable around people who fall into different groups. If you were sitting at your table and at work, and a group of fill in the blanks, you know, sat next to you, would you be like, "Yeah, it's time to go. I got to get out of here"?
Not merely because they sat down. No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's say a group of people who is different from Brian.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Is it going to great lengths to avoid particular areas? That might just be prudent. Like there are certain areas in Cincinnati when I lived there. I remember in particular one night, there's like a line in Cincinnati where I remember driving across this spot, and it like on one side of the line it was like normal, and the other side it was straight hood, just like, you know, just very, very exceedingly hood. And it seems to me that it might be prudent to avoid going to the place that's straight hood if you can. But does that make you a xenophobe?
I don't think so.
So I will say for me, on one, I would say no. And number two, I would say yeah. I mean, I could see myself avoiding areas if I thought there might be trouble there. But I don't think I'd see myself avoiding an area because there might be a lot of Hispanics there, or it might be a lot of Indians there, or a lot of Chinese there. But so I would say that I don't have that one as well. So I think I'm 0-2. You?
Same.
Okay. Refusing to be friends with people solely due to their skin color, comma, mode of dress, or other external factors.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, neither of us have that problem as evidence of us both being friends.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be the worst. We would be the worst xenophobes in the world. It would be like, yeah, I hate those foreigners and different looking people, but Brian's okay by me. Yeah.
Right, right. You know, yeah, I've got something just occurred to me that kind of blew my mind, and I don't know if I'm nearly as clever as I think that I am, but
we rarely are.
Well, here's what's interesting as we've been talking, as I was listening to you talk about the definitions and everything. Mm-hmm. We've both worked at, you know, Ethicon was a big company and had a nice big communal cafeteria, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How many times do you go down there? And when you just go down there, all the Indians are together at a table. All the Chinese, or Asians are together at a table. It's like, and then it's the rest of us. who's the xenophobes?
That's a great question. You kind of just turned the entire question on its head. So is it the people who are refusing to integrate with other folks? Are they the xenophobes, or are the
Or is it the people that would just prefer to not integrate and be by themselves? Because I don't know.
Here's a question. So a person who has lived in the United States for, let's say, 20 years and is Spanish, doesn't speak a lick of English, and pretty much stays in, little Salvador or whatever the community, that ethnic community is. Is that person just as xenophobic as, a person who is a huge Trump fan?
That's a good question. If the term xenophobic can go both ways, then.
Because
I don't know. I mean, I don't want. I don't want the. You know, there could definitely be a situation where that Hispanic person who's been here for 20 years is just never. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that person has tried to hang out and mix it up with other people, and he's been just flat out rejected, then. That's horrible,
mm-hmm.
and two, it would be. I think the xenophobia would have been going from the one from, not from him, but from the others. Mm-hmm. But if they're people, if there's that who would just as soon not deal with the gringo at all,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you could say that. That's an interesting. It's interesting to think of.
Because this is gonna sound weird, but I when I hear the term xenophobia, I pretty much hear fear of the foreigner.
Yeah.
So.
But we are we are foreigners to other people. I mean.
Yeah. It's funny because. What I was getting to with that is that when I was in Thailand, I was a Peace Corps volunteer, and you've heard some.
Right.
You've heard of some of my adventures and misadventures. And
oh yeah, I mean yes, I have.
Yeah. And that's one of the very first things. If you spend any time in Thailand as a foreigner, you'll be called a Farang, or quite literally foreigner, and so. And that's not to say that. Let's focus here, Joey. But yeah, so which one's xenophobic? And we're not necessarily sure. But I will also note we don't seem to have nearly as much trepidation about having this conversation as what we had last week, which is just an important side thing to note. It's neither here nor there.
So I wonder if the xenophobia even comes only comes into sorry. I wonder if xenophobia only comes into the conversation when it has negative connotations hooked to it, you know? So my cafeteria example doesn't apply because they're not all together congregated and excluding me because they don't like me. It's just because they're more comfortable speaking, you know, with themselves, and they have, you know, they have their own culture, and I don't fit in, so they're not excluding me because they don't like me per se. It's just I can't really contribute to the conversation, maybe. I don't know.
Well, and this is something I noticed as when I was a Peace Corps volunteer, like when so you got there's no doubt being a person who is in a foreign country that speaks a different language, that is stressful in ways that being home, speaking your home language, just isn't. There's a certain amount of stress, you know, that goes into almost every interaction because there just is.
Right.
And what dawned on me is that, when I was a Peace Corps volunteer, you know, if you ran into any foreigner, any person who wasn't Thai, there was almost an immediate, hey, how are you? Like, what are you doing here? X, Y, and D. Like, there was a commonality.
Camaraderie.
That's where.
Yeah.
Born by both being strangers in a strange land, so to speak. I had a point that I'm sure I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it'll come back and I'll be like, damn it.
You'll text it to me.
Yeah. And you'll be like, oh, that'd be a great point.
And I'll reply because because I can't sleep. So
like, what are you doing up at 3 o'clock in the morning? The same thing you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. And let me see any other cat. See if we're. And so, looks like one, two, and three were no one. So we don't feel comfortable around different folks. We don't go to great lengths to avoid folks unless we're avoiding the hood. Let's see here. We don't refuse to be friends with one another or with another person based on their skin tone or color. And the final one is. Difficulty taking a supervisor seriously or connecting with a teammate who does not fall into the same racial, cultural, or religious group.
The obvious caveat, and it's just something that America, you know, I'm American, so I'll come from that perspective, but a lot of times there's a language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
and that's I don't know if that has any, I don't think that would have any bearing on the conversation of xenophobia, but there is, it's a very real.
I
will go out of my way to avoid talking to an Indian if I know that I'm only going to pick up a third of what they're trying to say. Mm-hmm. I'll avoid them like the plague.
and that's kind of what I was trying to put my finger on and wasn't able to do a few moments ago when I was talking about being a Peace Corps volunteer, that, the smallest things, you know, getting a direction, getting some information can be enormously difficult. When there's something like a foreign language or a very strong accent involved.
Well, yeah. How about this? If we phrase it in not so much that we are resistant to their physical characteristics, skin color, where they're from, things like that, how they dress, but the other stuff, the stuff like the culture, the language, the things that are hard, because there's nothing, it's not hard to be around someone from another country. It's not hard. There's nothing hard about it. What's hard is trying to communicate with them. What's hard is trying to empathize. Be sensitive or be aware of their culture, and to not do anything that would offend, things like that.
I guess a sharper way of putting the question is,
please do. I'm kind of stumbling around.
It's a not easy thing to do. Another way of sharpening the question is acknowledging those things. So, is acknowledging the language barrier.
Yes, is acknowledging these things that make us different, make us xenophobic. Yeah. Can we acknowledge it? That's succinctly what I was trying to say.
Well, it's just, you know, sometimes we take the long way around to get to a very simple and direct point. But and I for one hope that, you know, we live in a time where we can acknowledge a, you know, perceivable difference. This person speaks differently than I do. They look differently than I do. Acknowledge that, but at the same time, not be a xenophobe.
Agreed.
But, you know, the other point that I wanted to make, I know you didn't, and we're not going to talk about the Democratic Convention this week, because we want to make sure that we can talk about both the Democrats and the Republicans with the benefit of hindsight, at both of them at the same time. But one of the things I noticed in the Democratic Convention is that there seemed to be this whole, like, oh, you know, America is all these people coming from around the world and being happy together. Just like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we were in India, now we're here, and now we're all working together. We were in China, now we're here, now we're all working together. And it seems to me to be an almost deliberate whitewashing of American history to suggest that, you know, people came from, you know, from many come one without, yeah, to suggest that from many comes one without any of the friction that we know accompanies it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, like a great whitewashing of, you know, America's, because I think in the past, America has been very xenophobic, but I think the way the term is used now, it kind of moves the goalposts as to what exactly is xenophobia. So I think we're beginning to see the word used now such that in acknowledging those differences that everyone can plainly see with their eyes, we're drifting towards, by acknowledging that, we're calling people xenophobic.
I think it's, yeah, I think, and I think that it cheapens the word. It cheapens the impact of it.
Oh, yeah. And you're saying, I'm sorry.
It's like, no, I'm sorry. I'd say, you know, when everyone is a Nazi, then Nazi kind of loses its meaning. When everyone's a racist, a racist kind of loses its. It's just when words get misused, and they lose their value, and I think that
kind of like Karen. Or
like Karen. Poor Karen.
Yeah. But let's see here. So, yeah, I want to come out of this thing that you're not a xenophobe and I'm not a xenophobe. But
we are not xenophobes, people.
So we have a slight touch of transphobia.
Just a touch.
Yeah. But
a shot. Get a shot. Clear it right up.
Yeah, that's how we deal with germs and viruses.
Oh my God!
Oh, good. I don't feel half as bad about myself now. Thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome, Jeff.
But I, yeah, it's, you know, it's we talk about it in passing, and like I said in one of our other shows, we talk about serious topics in a not so serious way. But
yeah.
I think we're going to be seeing. I think this word's going to be bandied around in the near future with the election coming, and I think it's probably a good idea for us to keep an eye out and make sure that we're not using the word to shut people up. And I'm afraid that's how the word's going to be used. Or, sorry, it will be continued. It will continue to be used in that way.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we should. It'd be. I don't know if it'd be our duty to do so, but I think we should kind of keep an eye out for it and call it out when we see it.
I can get with that. I can get with that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You know what we forgot to do, man?
What? We forgot to do something?
Yeah, we forgot.
Oh, I know what we forgot. I bet I know, and I bet I know why we forgot.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what it is.
May I?
Sure.
Well, I think we every episode that we've done, we have started the show off talking about or following up on the Ahmaud Arbery incident, murder in Georgia, and more recently, the George Floyd murder in Minnesota, and we failed to do that this week.
Well, we failed to do that at the top of the show.
At the top of the show, yes.
But we can
do that now. But I think we didn't do it because of what's happened this week, and it kind of sucked the air out of the room, so to speak. But I feel like you're wanting to make a point, and I keep stepping all over it. So,
I don't want to make a point. The only point I wanted to make sure that we did is that there are no developments in the story, and neither of them. So that was the only point. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, we typically cover this story, and when there's nothing to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. But we typically acknowledge it at the very beginning of the show.
Correct.
Yeah. But speaking of this week, a lot has happened this week, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't know what to say. What I want to say is, you know, don't expect this to be the last time that something like this happens. But that's such a negative take on it. But let's talk about what happened.
Cool.
You and I haven't talked really since the last show, and we haven't talked since this has happened. And so this may be interesting. We may come down different ways on this, but we still definitely need to talk about it, and that would be the I can't think of his name, Blake, I think, someone.
Yeah, there's Jacob Blake, and then there's a follow-up shooting with the guy by the name of what's his name, Kyle,
yeah, like Ritter or Ritten.
Oh yeah,
Rittenhouse. So I want to talk, first of all, what kicked it off was the Jacob, I'm sorry, what was his first name?
Jacob.
In a place called Kenosha. Is that Wisconsin, I think?
Yes.
He was shot in the back 7 times, apparently, from what I've heard. It was only one officer. Even though there were two there, it was...
What, really?
I think that's what I'd read. I could be wrong, but yeah, he was shot in the back, and that, although he wasn't killed, he didn't die, but they said he was paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should go back and talk about how we first encountered this, because it was pretty terrifying, actually. Let me see if I can pull up. Okay, let's see here. And so apparently what Jacob S. Blake, 29-year-old African-American man, was shot and paralyzed by police in August 2020. He was hit by 4 of 7 shots fired at his back during an arrest by police officer Rustin Shisky. The incident occurred in Kenosha, Wisconsin on August 23rd, 2020, as officers were attempting to arrest Blake, wanted on a warrant for criminal trespass, domestic abuse, and sexual assault. I didn't hear all that. And this source is probably the worst source I can put my finger on, but it's one that was handy, Wikipedia.
Okay.
And so I think there are several elements that we could talk about here. But what's your take on it, Mr. Newman?
Well, my overall take is that it absolutely, positively, without a doubt, should not have happened.
All right.
Because he absolutely, positively should have fucking stopped when the police told him to stop.
All right. And so the way we first encountered this was through a video, right? I think I sent you a link.
Yeah, and the video is crazy. The video is it's fucked up for sure. Mm-hmm. But it screamed at me. Why is it he needs to stop?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, stop.
And then
I was suspicious that what little of the clip we got to see. I felt like there's more to the story that we didn't get, and that's why I did. I mean, I commented on it to you. It was jacked up, but I didn't make a decision yet because I just knew that there was going to be more to come out about it. And go ahead.
And what you just said is probably the very, you know, it's very important because, you know, something you said earlier, when something like this happens, there's that initial there's that initial press release or that initial story that hits the wire, but the more and more you learn about it as time goes, that initial report is almost never the same. It always changes in ways that are unforeseen. And I look at it in two ways, and I think first, I wholeheartedly agree with you in terms of this is terrible. It should not have happened. It was preventable. And why didn't this guy stop? Now, quick question. You've probably watched the video more than I have. Did you hear the audio?
You know what? I don't think that I did.
I
think the audio is always like by default turned off on videos that I get on my phone. And so I just watch the video and I never touch around to see if there's audio. So did you hear it? Is there something?
Did
you hear something?
I remember hearing like commotion, but I don't recall hearing anyone say stop. What I do recall saying is the guy walking with two cops to his back with their guns drawn, but I don't recall hearing them say stop.
See, if their guns are already drawn, that means some shit has already went down prior to where we join the action.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, and my question is, did he see? I mean, there's one thing where he sees them draw their guns and he turned around. That's one scenario. The other scenario is he turned around walking away from them and then they draw their guns.
Did you hear that they tried to use a taser on him first?
I've heard that, but every time I've heard somebody getting tased, they don't walk afterwards. So the fact that he was walking to me suggested that, you know,
there is an exception to that.
Okay.
And that's when the person is, you know, ridiculously on some sort of a narcotic.
So if he's super hopped up on something.
Right.
And do we have I think I have heard that if somebody's you know, hopped up on coke or speed or some other stimulant that, you know, getting tased
But I also want to say this, and this is what bothers me, because words, I think words mean things, and they don't say that they tased him and he kept on. Mm-hmm. They say that they tried to use a taser and failed.
Yeah. So like, does that mean? Like,
so I mean, that could be. Does that mean that they, you know, they shot him and it hit his like a belt and bounced off, and or they. Or to, you know, maybe they just, or maybe the taser failed, or
just as likely something. They just missed. I mean,
or they just missed.
Yeah, like,
so
we fired at him.
When you say that the taser failed, I don't know what that means. It could mean, yeah, he was, you know, they tried to tase him and he shook it off and was like, all right, I'm going to. Because apparently he confessed. They said that in the investigation, I think they said he confessed to having a knife, and that he said he was going to get the knife, and maybe even now it's too soon to take the story at face value. But I don't know. It's It just didn't need to happen. And
So like I said, to me it happens. Two things I want to put my finger on. You're right. Yeah. He should have stopped. And I think I've always said this about, hey, like when a police officer tells you to, hey, stop, or demands your attention, or, you know, you kind of like when we were talking about the George Floyd videotape,
yep,
from the body cam. I remember watching that later, and at the very beginning of it, as you see the second cop approaching, or a cop approaching, there's a guy saying, hey, you know, you don't get to win on this one, man. Get in the car. You remember that?
Yeah.
And so, to me, if a cop says, you're going into the car, you're going into the car. The cop says, we're slapping the cuffs on you. We're slapping the cuffs on you. I mean, it's only a matter of then if you want to get beat up in the process and possibly die, or,
That's a great point. The cops always win.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah. The presumption is that you're not right, that you're not going to come out on the winning side of this thing. And so that's one thing. My second critique is that you got two officers there, and they did not have a non-lethal option there, which is surprising to me. There's
other than the taser.
Well, which failed. Okay.
Which failed.
Huh. Yeah, these two cops were destined to have a bad day.
It's just unfortunate all around. And then again, what's resulted from all this is probably worse. I don't know. You know what? And I'll just, you know what? I'll throw this in here just because, and this is absolutely positively not Pollyannish type of thinking, you know, but apparently this guy was troubled in whatever way. He had his demons for sure. And I will tell you from personal experience, man, there's nothing that puts your life in perspective than to get paralyzed and take everything that you think is important in your life, and it really puts it in perspective. And so he's not dead; he's only paralyzed, and I've always maintained, and I've said it to you, I'm sure, but the car wreck that fucked my back up was probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
You know, that's in that category of things that I wasn't going to talk about, but you brought it up.
I wasn't either, but we kind of it kind of felt necessary. But again, that's absolutely no. I'm not prescribing paralysis as a cure for anything, but when that happens to a person, it puts your life in a different perspective. And it's entirely likely that 10 years from now, this guy will be some positive role model in the neighborhood or something, you know? So
yeah, it's funny. I've told you this before. Like, when I tell people about you, I'm like, yeah, like, he's the coolest guy. He's like one of the coolest guys, you know. And the idea that you've had that happen to you, that never occurs to me.
Yeah, it's and it shouldn't. But it's,
that part of your story is never the one that jumps to mind, so to speak.
Well, it's because my coolness outweighs it.
Obviously.
But like I said, he's not dead. He's paralyzed, and that it's not the end of his world. So I say that it's tragic, and it is in a way, but. He does get a second chance, and mm-hmm. And that hopefully works out. But still, there's still even it happened, and there's even been more fallout.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
Well, I was going to move on to this this Kyle Rittenhouse, but I'm going to rely on you to give me the deets, because I haven't followed. I've only seen the headlines. I haven't dug into it, except when you sent me that text message earlier, and I done a quick search on him and found out that he has been charged with first degree murder, according to the website that I looked at.
Yeah, and I was about to say, like, you know, if what happened to Mr. Blake wasn't tragic enough, I hate to say, okay, like, yeah, you know, not stopping when a cop tells you to stop and you're going for your car, nothing good comes out of that. To take a bad situation and make it worse. What happened on, August 25th, 2020, a 17-year-old white male shot three protesters, killing two. The alleged shooter, I don't know why they call it alleged, because he was caught on videotape, Kyle Rittenhouse, was later arrested in Antioch, Illinois, on charges of first-degree intentional homicide. He was labeled as a fugitive from justice in the complaint, which states that he fled the state of Wisconsin in an attempt to avoid prosecution for that offense. He has been assigned a public defender and was scheduled to appear in an extradition hearing on August 28th. That's tomorrow. Under Wisconsin law, he will be charged as an adult. He has been described as a police admirer and publicly expressed support for law enforcement and Blue Lives Matters. He's also a strong supporter of Donald Trump. Police announced that the two people who were shot were 26-year-old Silver Lake resident and a 36-year-old Kenosha resident. So, my understanding is that in response to Mr. Blake's shooting the other day, there was some protesting and some rioting. And in response to that protesting and rioting, a group of, I guess, self-appointed defenders decided to go and protect some businesses from looting. And what came out of that was... four people shot and two people killed. Thoughts, reactions?
Tragic as well, but I'm gonna. Oh no, there's no but. I mean, people died, and I don't know whether they needed to or not. But I think my bigger reaction is that this is one of those things that is going to happen again and again, and I think it's going to I think a lot of people have I don't think I know I've heard a lot of people right leaning people talking who have just surprised that something like this hasn't happened sooner.
Really?
And it's, well, I mean, think, you know, how many times have you seen militia people out with guns ablazing in public, whatever, and for all the times that you've seen that, no one's been killed yet until now.
I guess I'm curious as to that is a very important thing to put your finger on, but I'm curious as to what happened this time that made people start shooting. Sorry, made the 17-year-olds start shooting.
You know, we'd have to find out from the 17-year-old.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do some more research because I'm sure this is a developing story.
First of all, he's a 17-year-old. I don't know whether he's mentally, and I mean mature. I don't know that he's mentally mature enough to own a gun.
Well, do we know that?
Like that.
Do we know that that was his gun?
No, we don't.
We know it was a gun that he had access to and at the time possession of.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be that he freaked out and panicked, or maybe he I don't know his demeanor. I mean, he could have, maybe it could be anything from he freaked out, panicked, and just started squeezing them off, or or he had hate. He had hate and wanted to kill, or something in between. I don't know.
Have you seen pictures of this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got problems.
He kind of reminds me of, what's the guy? Frisch's Big Boy.
Yeah.
Frisch's Big Boy when he was 17, if he had access to an AR-15. That's kind of the vibe I get off of him. Like, kind of an eager beaver. Not necessarily the guy who's polishing apples for the teacher, but he and that guy are friends. They both sat in the same, the same corner of the classroom. I get that feeling.
Interesting. Yeah.
He also strikes me as the type of guy that I think we all knew this guy. I want to be a police officer. Like, let's see here. Yeah, the guy that wanted to be a police officer wasn't necessarily a bully, but kind of seemed to, once again, my general feel just from looking at a picture of the guy, which is probably a very poor indication of
sometimes.
But I get the feeling, my understanding was that he was part of some group and they were going to go and once again, defend these businesses. But hey, quick question. Why is it that the defenders often seem to be very much more aggressive than the people for whom they're defending against?
I can't speak to that. I don't know that there's any proof of that, is there? There's plenty of burned out businesses that in the aftermath of what we've went through these past few months. So I don't think you can entirely say that it's fair to say that the protesters are all angelic and pure.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that they're angelic and pure, but I don't see the protesters with a body count. Like I'm of the opinion that someone's business being burned down or torched, that is a tragedy, but it's not the type of tragedy that should warrant killing people.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't in St. Louis. Didn't a guy who owned a bar get murdered almost execution style in one of the riots after George Floyd? I mean, there is a body count.
Yeah,
there is a body count.
I can't speak to that. I'd be interested in seeing it. I mean, I'm not going to deny it because I haven't heard that at all. So you're saying there was a bar owner that was murdered almost execution style in the wake of the George Floyd piece?
I'm almost positive.
I mean, hey, I'm once again, I haven't seen it, so I won't discount it, but I'd be interested in we can put a fork in that one and come back to it. Sorry, a pin in that one and come back to it, because I'd be interested in knowing it, because I've heard of defenders, those two people in St. Louis who came out brandishing their weapons. Now that seemed to me to be a I don't think they were defending anything. I think they were being aggressors in that example. And I think the people who show up to a protest with guns, I think those guys are being aggressors as well. I think they're being instigators. But this may be a point on which we disagree.
Well, we do disagree in that sense, but I will say it's going to happen more. It's going to keep happening.
Oh no, I as I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it is surprising that this hasn't happened more. But I guess what is surprising is that that cops haven't showed up and been like, yo, you guys standing around with all these weapons only agitates you. I mean, it's clear that it's clear that those guys were instigators. The people who showed up to the protest wearing guns, it's clear to me those guys are instigators. Is that not clear to you?
No, that's fair to say. Okay. But you got to keep in mind that who's been the number one target of all these protests? It's been the police. So what are you expecting them to do?
So do you think it was getting so hard for the Kenosha police that they had to call up their buddies in the local militia to back them up?
No. That's not what I mean at all. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that we're in this... For whatever, you know, right or wrong, we're the current environment today is very anti-police.
But
and so if I was a police officer, I would have a chip on my shoulder, and I would drag my feet. I would probably in my own little way rebel in some way, and if that means taking my time to respond to something or whatever. But that's just me. That's why I could never be a police officer, because I'd have that mental hang up where I'm like, well, fuck you then.
Yeah. I think a lot of cops do have that, but okay. So, you know, okay. So there is that, but that's not what happened in this case. In this case, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any indication that the police were over, I guess, you know, riots in the streets and buildings being burned. That might be an indication that the police were overwhelmed, but I don't recall there being an SOS call saying, hey, guys, this situation's gotten out of control. Bring your guns. We need help.
Sure.
So, but, I mean, there is a point that, hey, you know, you can't go around just burning stuff down. But my point is that you don't get to take someone's life. And the terrible thing is about it is we don't know about the kid that much. This is going to come out a little more, so I'm going to save my comment. But yeah,
no, I agree. I don't think a life needed to be taken.
Sorry, two.
Two, yeah. So was he being charged with two counts of first degree murder?
I don't know. Let's see.
I thought when I read it, they just said he was being charged with first degree murder. I didn't.
It makes sense that they would double your fun, so to speak, if you shot two people. But, but you're right. It's not specifically stated if you got two counts. Let's see here.
I'm guessing that he will.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, how are you going to kill two people but get one count?
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. Right. Depressing, heavy stuff, man.
It is.
There's a lot of skullduggery going on.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, there are likely a lot of things for which I am a bastard, but that's not one of them. But that's part of the show, man.
And it's going to become more of the show. But let's... before let's hit on this real quick before we jump into that, and I'll be honest, I only threw this story in here because it used the word skullduggery.
It's a great word.
It is an awesome word, and we're going to start using it more.
I think there's a What's the new topic going to be?
Our
section.
I know that it's kind of not super creative, and if something else comes to us, it will change it. But I'm thinking it would be great to have a section at the end, maybe called "This Week in Skullduggery."
Yeah, skullduggery. I want to look that word up again.
Okay. Look it up.
Let's see.
You look it up, and I'll read this real quick. All right. Speaker Pelosi says that she does not think there should be any presidential debates between President Trump and Joe Biden. I wouldn't legitimize a conversation with President Trump nor a debate in terms of the presidency of the United States. And then it says down here, she goes, Pelosi said out of the blue at a news conference at the Capitol, saying she doesn't want the debates to be an exercise in skullduggery. Now listen, you're not going to hear me say this very often, mm-hmm. but well said, Madam Pelosi.
What, the use of the word skullduggery or?
Skullduggery. Yeah, just using the word skullduggery. That gives her, I have to give her the thumbs up. I just got to give her the thumbs up for saying that word.
Okay, and let's define that word right quick.
Yes.
Skullduggery, dishonorable proceeding. Mean, dishonest, or trickery, bribery, graft, and other such skullduggery. You can't define a word using a word. Let's see here.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah, let's find a different one. Underhanded or unscrupulous behavior. Trickery. Okay. Yeah. So.
Like if she would come out and just every time she would, if she just started calling Trump a skullduggerous bastard.
That would.
I would be beyond. I'd just be beyond the moon. That'd be so great.
But you know, I don't understand the skullduggery of it all. Him debating. Well, I think this is really just this kind of rolls into what my prediction is about Joe Biden saying something stupid in front of cameras and Trump being there to make him pay for it the rest of the election cycle.
Yeah, I mean, once Joe, I think it was, once it was realized that he was going to be the nominee, that people have been talking about what's going to happen in the debates, and they've been talking in very, you know, like devastating terminology, you know, and people have been wondering whether they were going to try to, you know, whether used COVID or some other reason to just not have debates. And I think their point here is that they're just assuming that everything Trump says is a lie, so there's no point debating him. And I think she found the creative way of saying that.
I think they're just trying to protect the boy.
Yeah, because I mean, really, I don't know how well he'll do off prompt, and you know that Trump is going to be like the 18-year-old Mike Tyson. He's just going to, as soon as the bell rings, he's just going to come out swinging for the fences. Oh, yeah. and it's just going to, you know, he just wants one thing to set Biden off, and that's what I'm envisioning anyway. But
what's the phrase you use again? Elder abuse.
I used to use that phrase. I don't like to use that phrase anymore.
You know what? That's a sign of growth. You know, and for all you haters out there that said that, you know, there's no growth on the radio or that we're not growing, that's an example of growth right there.
You've witnessed it live. So, all right. So, folks, next week, look forward to the first installment of the This Week in Skullduggery.
All right. Skullduggery.
Oh, my God. When you say it with that whatever fake accent, it makes it even better.
Skullduggery.
Oh, my God.
All right, cool. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it will. Because, you know, there's all kinds of skullduggerous motherfuckers out there.
Oh, did you, I forgot to send this to you about the Florida man.
Yes. Well, okay. What was it, like 20 examples of 20?
Yeah, that'll have to be a...
Yeah.
But we'll
yeah,
that next week.
Good old Florida. Yeah, good old Florida man. Well, Joe, we're bumping up against the 2 hour mark again.
Holy crap.
And our agenda points was only like half as big as last week, so that just means that the stuff we talked about must have been really interesting to us.
Yeah, right? I mean, but hopefully it's interesting to somebody else as well. Oh crap!
Yeah.
One other thing we forgot to do, man.
What did we forget to do?
It's the that whole new venue that we're on YouTube.
Oh yeah, I'm going to get in the habit of this, man. We're on YouTube. Like, subscribe, share. We are on YouTube. Our last three episodes are up on YouTube. The link to the YouTube channel is on joehigh.com. If YouTube is how you get your content, we got it for you.
Yeah, we're there.
Subscribe, like the episodes, share. Please share them. That's our biggest thing. Is we need to get the word out. So share. Just share with someone you don't even know.
Yeah, sharing is caring, man.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
And we care that you share.
Yeah, we care. We also care if you don't share. So
to make sure you share.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on the right page here?
I think we're on the right page.
All right, buddy. All right, Joe. Another one in the books. How's that? Not in the can. This one's in the books.
In the books. I like it.
Yes, sir. And we've got a crazy idea.
What's that, man?
I think we should do this again in 7 days.
Do we have to?
I think we need to.
I think we need to. I like it, man. Let's do it.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.